Well, thank the Lord for the good singing. Thank the Lord for the good spirit in the service. I was thinking of that passage in the book of Acts when Simon Peter went down to see Cornelius, and I like what Cornelius said.
Yes.
We're all here.
Amen.
To hear what God has got to say.
Amen.
To us.
Right.
Remember that in the book of Acts chapter 2?
Yes.
Cornelius said, we're all here to hear what God is saying.
Amen.
Through Peter.
Amen,
so I've come this week, and I pray the Lord will help me to have that attitude, and that is, I want to be here to hear what the Lord will say to me.
Amen.
Because I need the Lord to speak to me.
Yes.
I need the Lord to help me in this meeting and during these days.
Amen.
It's good singing.
Amen.
I like that singing. I'm going to read tonight in Judges chapter 3. Judges chapter 3. I want to begin with verse 12 and read down through a few verses in this third chapter of the book of Judges. I begin at verse 12 and read down a few verses. The Bible said in Judges 3, and the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord, and the Lord strengthened Eglon, the king of Moab, against Israel because they had done evil in the sight of the Lord. And he gathered unto him the children of Ammon and Amalek and went and smote Israel and possessed the city of palm trees. So the children of Israel served Eglon, the king of Moab, 18 years. But when the children of Israel cried to the Lord raised them up a deliverer, Ehud, the son of Jerah, a Benjaminite. A man left-handed, and by him the children of Israel sent a present unto Eglon, the king of Moab. And he made him a dagger with two edges and a cubit length, and he did gird it under his garment upon his right thigh. And he brought the present unto Eglon, king of Moab. Eglon was a very fat man. When he had made an end to offer the present, he sent away the people that bear the present. But he himself turned again from the garrison and that was by Gilgal and said, I have a secret errand to thee, O king, who said, keep silent. And all that stood by him went out from him. He who came unto him, and he was sitting in a summer parlor which he had for himself alone. And he who said, I have a message from God unto thee. And he arose on his seat. He who put forth his left hand and took the dagger from his right thigh and thrust it into his belly. And the shaft also went in after the blade. And the fat closed upon the blade so that he could not draw the dagger out of his belly. And the dirt came out. And he went forth through the porch and shut the doors of the parlor upon him and locked them. When he was gone out, his servants came. And when they saw, behold, the doors of the parlor were locked. They said, surely he covereth his feet in his summer chamber. And they tarried until they were ashamed. And behold, he opened not the doors of the parlor. Therefore they took a key, opened them, and behold, their Lord was fallen down dead upon the earth. Now, I read those verses so we would get the gist of the message. You know, when you look in the Old Testament, and especially in the book of Judges, as the first verse said, Israel sinned or did evil in the sight of the Lord. Sometimes Israel was right with God, sometimes they were not right with God. Sometimes they worship the Lord and sometimes they backslid so far. Now they learn the way of the heathen and worship strange gods. But isn't it wonderful when you read the Old Testament that even though Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord, that when they really got serious and got honest and called upon the Lord, that the Lord sent a deliverer.
Amen.
That's the goodness of God.
Yes,
sir, Israel was unworthy of deliverance.
Yes,
but Israel was God's chosen people.
Yes.
The apple of God's eye.
Yeah.
And God loved them with an everlasting love.
Yes.
As a matter of fact, the Lord said in the Psalms, He said that concerning Israel, that I remembered that they were just flesh. The Lord knows that. Sometimes preachers may not know that, and people that are self-righteous and pious and holy may not know that. But God knows that. Wherever downsettings, wherever uprisings, sometimes we're near the Lord, sometimes we're far from the Lord. But I'm glad the Lord knows, and I'm glad the Lord's able to help us and deliver us.
Amen.
I want to use a verse tonight that's very familiar. I don't know if I've ever heard a message from this verse, but I've heard of some that have preached from this text. So if you'll notice, the Bible tells us in this verse 20, I believe it is, or verse 21. He who had made a dagger, and the Bible tells us that he had gone to give a present to the king. Now he's on an errand from God.
Right. Right.
He's not there just because that he was sent by Israel. He's there because God
right.
is going to do something.
Right.
So the Bible said in verse 21, and he who put forth his left hand and took the dagger from his right thigh and thrust it into his belly. But in that verse 20, the latter part of the Bible said that he said to the king, I have a message from God unto thee. That's what I want to preach on.
Amen.
I have a message from God unto thee.
Yes.
Now God has always spoken in the past in the prophets. And also the Bible said in these last days he's spoken to us through his son. And God's still speaking tonight. Now, he's not speaking through dreams and visions, fairy tales or graveyard stories. But he's speaking through the Word of God with the Spirit of God, and the Lord's still speaking tonight.
Yes. Thank you, Lord.
So I want to say to you, the Bible tells us that this messenger said to that king, I have a message from God. Not my message. It's God's message.
Right, right.
See, a lot of people, when you preach the word, they feel like that's your message.
Yeah.
No, if it's the Bible, it's God's message.
Yeah.
And the word of God is God's message, and therefore, it's not the ideal or opinions of some man or what he thinks. But thus saith the Lord. It's very important. These days will be days that we'll sit and hear God's men open God's word and preach. And I hope I'll be able to listen attentively and have this attitude, and that is, God speaks to me. Some services, people, in other words, they say, God is speaking to so-and-so. But we're going to deal with that just in a moment.
Good.
I remember years ago, I heard old Bob Harrington, the chaplain of Berber Street on a long play album. Remember him?
Yeah.
He said, I was in a service, I think a Methodist church, and the Lord was speaking to me, and I thought he was speaking to the man behind me. Now, when God speaks to you, you'll know he's speaking to you. You won't be confused and think he's preaching to the man behind you, in front of you, or beside you. When God speaks to you, you'll know he's speaking to you. There are about two or three things I want to mention tonight, and I won't deal primarily with this setting or this incident, but let's look at it just for a moment. First of all, in verse 20, the message was a personal message.
Amen.
Notice what he said.
Good.
I have a message unto thee.
Right.
It's personal.
Amen.
That's the way God deals with people. It's always personal. See, the Lord speaks to us personally, individually, and definitely. So when this man went before this king, he said, I have a message from God unto thee. He's saying, I'm speaking to you. And what I have is for you and no one else. I've had God to speak to me in services. Amen. I've not spoken to anybody else about the same matter and the same need, but he spoke to me personally. That's the way God speaks to us. It's a personal message. That's the way God talks to you and me in a personal way. Brother Jamie is talking about being saved by the grace of God and how the Lord convicted him and how the Lord came to him. That's personal. Isn't that wonderful?
Yeah.
I'm glad I got a personal salvation.
Amen.
I'm glad I know my name is written down.
Amen.
And I'm glad that I know in whom I have believed.
Yes.
I have no confusion about that.
Nope.
And I'm persuaded that he is able to keep that of committing to him against that day.
Amen.
He is able.
Amen.
I just want to make a few statements about this thing. It was a personal message. The Bible tells us that God speaks to us that way.
Yes.
Now, the Lord spoke to the world concerning his love.
Yes.
For God so loved the world.
Yes.
But yet, when you think about it, there came a time when God spoke to you personally.
Yes.
I heard Paul say, in other words, he loved me and gave himself for me.
Yes.
Isn't that wonderful?
Yes.
I can say that God loved me and gave himself for me. The message of love is personal. Sure, God loves the world. Sure, Jesus tasted death for the man. But I'm glad one day I found out that he loved me. And I'm glad the message came to me personally, individually, and I received it. That God loved me. God loves you. God loves the world. Human family. But I'm glad one day that he singled me out with the Word of God, by the Spirit of God, and said, I got a message for you. And that message is that I love you. Now, if that won't humble you, and that won't convict you, and that won't move you, I don't know what will. That God loved us. That God loved me. So it's a personal message concerning the love of God, for God is love. And also it's personal in that God's message to us was a message not only of love, personally, but also, think about it, light. God is light. I have a message from God unto thee. What is that? God's love. God loves you. God is light, and the Bible tells us we're all in spiritual darkness. But you know what happened? The Bible tells us that God, with the gospel, cause that glorious gospel light to shine into our hearts.
Yes.
The entrance of our word giveth light.
Yes.
You don't get light from any other place except the Word of God, and that is a message from God, and that is you're in darkness.
Right.
But the Bible tells us that God also, with the gospel, the word of God, that's the entrance of giveth light, the Bible tells us that he translated us out of darkness into his marvelous light. We're all in darkness. If you're not saved, you're in darkness. Our brother's already said that, my friend, the natural-minded man cannot receive the things that are spiritual. They spiritually discerned. But I'm glad one day I had a message from God. The Word of God with the Spirit of God told me he loved me personally, individually, and also shined his light around about me through the Word of God, and therefore illuminated my mind. Thank God showed me I was in darkness, and when I came out of that darkness by the help of the Spirit of God, he put me in light. I'm walking in the light of the Lord. We are children of light. That's what makes us different. We're in a no dark world, but we shine for Jesus. Let your light shine as men might see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Paul said we're no longer children of darkness, we're children of light. Individually, thank God, I heard a message. What was it? God is love. God loves you. God is light. You're in darkness. If you want to get out of that darkness, you've got to believe what God says. I'm just running by some things. It's personal message. Not only was it personal that God loved us, and also it's personal to us that God is light, but also the Bible tells us that God is life. We were dead in trespasses and in sin. That's why we were dead. Oh, Pelosi. They need to put her in jail and throw the key away. She said the very idea of Trump calling those M13 gang members, other words, what he called animals. Doesn't he know that every person has a spark of divinity? No, they don't have a spark of divinity. There's no spark of divinity if you're not saved. You're dead in trespass and sin. You've got to be quickened by the Holy Ghost, quickened by the Word of God. Amen. There's no spark of divinity in you. So one day I heard the Word of God, and the Word of God said God loves you personally. God, in other words, is light and can bring you out of darkness personally. And also you're dead and God can give you light. Now wait a minute. That king got a personal message. It's personal. So, I got a message, he said. I have a message from God unto thee. God's messages are always personal. You ever notice that? This is a message of judgment. But let me just run this by you while I'm on this point. God's message is always personal. You remember when David sinned with Bathsheba? Nathan knocked on his door. What did he say to him? Thou art the man. He didn't go to the wrong house. He didn't knock on the wrong door. He didn't address the wrong man. God never knocks on the wrong door. God never goes to the wrong house. And God never speaks to the wrong man. Thou art the man. Personally. You remember Ahab said to Elijah, you're troubling Israel. Elijah said, I'm not troubling Israel. You're troubling Israel. Thou art the one that troubles Israel. Personally. Elijah said, it's your fault. It's your, you're the blame. You're the one. I can just go on and on and on. Remember old Herod taking his brother's wife? Old John the Baptist. I like John the Baptist. As a matter of fact, I suppose John would be my favorite hero. Now, a lot of Baptists don't like to say much about John. They'd rather for you to quote Martin Luther. They'd rather for you to quote some Protestant. Now, look at me. I got a message from God unto you. I am not a Protestant. I am a Baptist. I got a good heritage. I'm proud of it. I'm not taking my shingle down. I'm going to make it bigger. There are Baptist preachers. They want to quote Martin Luther and quote, other words, Charles and John Wesley. But they won't even grunt about John the Baptist. John was a man sent from God.
Yeah, he was.
And one day, old John knocked on Herod's door and said personally to Herod, it's not right for you to have your brother's wife.
Yeah.
Now, he wrote it, didn't like it. And John lost his head. But thank God our Lord said John was all right. Amen. It's always personal. But not only is this message personal, but also it was a powerful message. You know that dagger? The Bible said he made it so long, two edges. And the Bible said he took that left hand and thrust it. Underline that word thrust. That means with force.
Amen.
He didn't just stick it in easy. But he shoved it in. And it went right up in that fat man's belly and the flesh closed around it and he couldn't pull it out.
Good.
I got news for you. The word of God will not return to the Lord void.
Yeah.
It accomplished that it pleases him. When God sticks that word in with power, the devil can't pull it out. The world can't pull it out. No one can pull it out. The word of God is powerful, sharper than a two-edged sword. I'm going to tell you something. When God stabs you with that book, with that sword of the Spirit, that word of God, I guarantee you one thing, it'll go deep enough. The Bible said that, my friend, it will. In other words, the Word of God is powerful and sharper than a two-edged sword. And my friend, it's able to go down deep.
Yeah.
Praise God, one day it went down deep in me.
Yeah.
I still ain't gotten over it. It's not only a personal message, it's powerful. The Bible said with a thrust. Amen. Praise God for the powerful, powerful, powerful word.
Yeah.
Now you can hear an illustration, forget it, time to get out the door.
Yeah.
You can hear a graveyard story, forget it, time to get out the door.
Yeah.
You can hear all these prior experiences that men might give and it may not linger with you. But that word of God will, my friend, get in you. That word of God will linger with you. That word of God, the Bible said, will go to bed with you. Thank God it'll be there when you get up in the morning. That's why I believe in preaching the Word of God.
Yes.
I'm not going to spend my time talking about experiences and talking about graveyard stories and fairy tales. These preachers in our day, my friend, always talking about everything else instead of preaching the Word.
Amen.
Say amen right along with that. I was in a meeting several years ago. I'm not going to call the preacher's name. He's already in heaven. But he preached a sermon that night on the stars. Now, there was a couple of preachers preached on the stars. I didn't know what he's talking about. The folks didn't know what he's talking about.
Yeah.
When I went out that night, this lady said, boy, I'll tell you one thing, that was so wonderful. Never heard anything like that. One fellow said to her, said, did you understand what he said? Well, no. What if you didn't understand it, didn't help you.
Amen. Amen. I believe it.
Now, you didn't understand that book.
That's right.
Okay. It was a personal message, a powerful message. The Word is powerful. The Gospel is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. I learned a long time ago why I don't have to prop the Word up. I don't have to push it along. That's why I'm an old-time fundamental Baptist preacher that believes in Holy Ghost conviction. I believe that, my friend, God can do a work in a sinner's heart. And when he gets saved, you don't have to knock on his door every Saturday to get in the church. Say amen. When I got saved, they didn't have to beg me. They didn't bribe me. But I've been living long enough to hear these preachers talk about you got to go after them every Saturday when they make that profession, beg them to come, bribe them to come. Oh, listen to me. When my friend, they get born again, get saved by the grace of God, there'll be some things that'll happen. There's some things that accompany salvation. Do you know that? You don't need a study course to have a desire for the Word. As newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the Word. You don't need a study course to get hungry. When you got born in this world physically, if you was healthy, you didn't have to have a study course to get hungry. You came with a natural desire for nourishment. Your mother didn't have to pinch you. The daddy didn't have to bribe you or beat you. Thank God you was hungry and you wanted it. And if you didn't get it, you let mama know. There are just some things that come to salvation. One thing is a desire for the Word. Another thing is delight in worship. Say amen. And another thing is a determination to tell what Jesus did and not be ashamed. That's what that old money I did. He got out of that graveyard. He got decent society. Put some clothes on. Some folks need to be preached that. Well, I don't preach on modesty. I don't preach on that. It's preaching on things. I preach on it, and it's things, and I still preach on it. Oh, I'm so old now. They say that's just an old man with a dirty mind. He's an old fogey. Well, call me what you want to. I preached it when I was 20. Now I'm 30, and I'm still preaching it. Amen. I'm a little over 30. It's a personal message, a powerful message. The gospel is the power of God unto salvation. I like the Word. You don't have to prop it up and push it along. James said in James 1:18, of his own will. Begot he us with the Word of truth.
Amen.
Underline that Word of truth.
Yes.
That's what he said. Being born again, not a corruptible seed, but incorruptible seed by the Word of God which liveth and abideth forever.
Amen.
The Word is powerful. The Word is pure and it's permanent.
Amen.
God's not going to rewrite it for you or anybody else.
Amen.
Or rearrange it.
Right.
He said what he said, meant what he said, and that settled it.
Right.
I got one other little point. First of all, it's a personal message. Secondly, it was powerful. Would you agree with that?
Yeah.
But I'll tell you something else. You'll notice it. It was permanent. He'd never hear another message. It was final. I have a message from God unto thee. And the Bible said when he thrust that dagger into him, he fell down dead upon the earth. Now I want to illustrate, I want to emphasize that a little bit. Did you know something? God may be speaking to you. Personally. But do you know something? It's a possibility. It might be the last time you'll ever hear it. Now, a lot of folks don't believe that. But I believe it. I believe that. When death comes, you're not going to hear from God. There's no second chance. There's no purgatory that a priest could pay you out of. There's no way after death that you'll ever have the opportunity to hear from God again.
Right.
So when you hear his voice, harden not your heart. Paul said that. There are a lot of people that have sat in churches, they've heard his voice, refused to receive it, rebelled against it, and that's why they can come and sit like a other words, a piece of stone, and it doesn't move them.
Amen. I believe it.
I believe that.
Yes,
there are a lot of people that come to church, hear the Word of God, and they're moved, but they rebel, they refuse it, and therefore their heart gets hard.
Amen.
Do you know that?
Amen.
Paul said, when you hear his voice, harden not your heart. Jesus said this concerning those in his day. He said that, in other words, their heart had waxed like gross.
Yeah.
In other words, they heard him, rejected him. Now, if you receive the word, it'll do the work. But if you reject the word, it won't work. That's what the Bible says about the gospel. It's salvation unto those that believe. And it's not salvation of those that don't believe. As a matter of fact, I believe that a person can go so far that my finished conscience can be seared like a hot iron, and there's no feeling, and there is no emotions, there is nothing that'll move you. Now here's the thing about it. A lot of folks don't believe what the Bible says about reprobates. But I believe the Bible teaches that a person can become a reprobate. As a matter of fact, I believe, according to the Bible, that all this gay movement and all this same-sex marriage and all this sodomite crowd are reprobates. Reprobates. Can't think on God, won't think on God, don't want God. They're reprobates. Now, a lot of folks don't believe that, but I believe it. According to Romans, I believe it. When they knew God, they glorified not as God, began to work the creature more than the creator. By the way, that's a good subject. Four-footed beast. Creeping things. You dog lovers. Now don't jump out of the boat on me. And don't just stay in the boat and I'll get you to shore. I'm preaching with two oars. One's called love and the other's called truth. I'm not going around a circle. We got a generation of people that think more of dogs and cats and creeping things than they do souls and people. Say amen. Legalize abortion, but you better not kill your kitty. You better not mistreat your puppy dog. You better not anybody know that my friend you spanked the little puppy. Come on, talk to me. I'm not against it, but I will say this to you. According to the Bible, a dog is a dirtier animal. Somebody said, my little dog, I don't need to get on that, but I will. My little dog wouldn't do what that old hound will do out there. You turn a little poochie loose here, she'll do the same thing the hound does. You may have perfumed her, you may have bathed her, you may have groomed her, you may call her baby and honey, let her sleep with you, but turn her loose. A dog is a dog. And a hog is a hog. I thought I might as well hit that while I was on that. I'm about through. It's personal message, powerful message, permanent message. He never heard again. God speaks to you personally. It's powerful.
Amen.
But one day, when death comes, won't be another message. You become dull of hearing. These verses are good verses, and I'll close. Proverbs 29, verse 1. Boast not thyself of tomorrow. For thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. See what it says? James said, for what is your life? It's like a vapor that's here for a little time and passeth away. He that often being reproved and hardens his neck shall suddenly be destroyed without a remedy. These days will be days that God will speak to me and you.
Amen,
we'll have a message from God to us. These men of God that will be preaching will be preaching God's word and God's message.
Amen.
To us, to me, personally.
Amen.
And it'll be the word, and that word so powerful, it'll move me.
Amen.
If I won't rebel and won't get stiff-necked, it'll move me. Amen. Isn't God good? Israel again sinned against the Lord. Again and again and again. But every time Israel cried, God raised up a deliverer. Isn't that wonderful? Sure did. You know why he did that? He loved Israel.
Yeah.
You know why? That God is not willing that any should perish, but all come to repentance.
Amen.
God loves the human family.
Yes, he does.
But here's something else. You know, people, you say this, preachers say this. When you read John 3:16, you can read it like this. For God so loved me. And that is true. He loved the world. I'm part of it. You're part of it. Come on, Brother Jamie.
Amen.